You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Sam Norris, Craig Forsyth and Andy Gibson in the studio. A pretty good Sunday to look forward to as well. Fontwell and Southwell on the domestic front, including Grade 2 action at Fontwell in the shape of the National Spirit Hurdle. We've also got good racing over in Ireland from there, several graded races on their card. So plenty to get stuck into. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craigie?
Well, it's only half time, but we're winning 2-0, Mark. All good so far.
It puts you in a better mood, doesn't it?
It is, yeah. Yes. Yeah, we're recording this. If you know, obviously people didn't realise it picked up on now. It's 4 o'clock on Saturday.
That means we can look back at some of Saturday's racing as well, Craig. Good day of racing on Saturday. The card at Kempton that takes place this time of year usually has a few clues for Cheltenham and such. We see some decent novices in action, and one of them that we saw today was Radician, a juvenile, in fact, not a novice in that instance. He won pretty nicely in the Adonis at Kempton on Saturday, and as a result, we've seen his price contract quite markedly for the Triumph Hurdle. Sevens on the back of the race, then went sixes, then we had to clip it again to fives. 5-1 chance now for the Triumph Hurdle. Do you see him having leading claims at the festival on the back of that performance?
I think he's jumping improved, Mark, more than anything, for the better ground. We know, you know, he's got an engine, the way he's won his first two races over hurdles. Up in class, it was all about his jumping, whether he could be quicker over his hurdles. And on better ground, he certainly was today, and it was very, very impressive. You know, he cruised through the race and sprinted away to win well. The overall time was a couple of seconds behind what Global Citizen achieved 30 minutes later in the Dovecot. And the circuit times, he was almost 3 seconds slower than Global Citizen, bearing in mind we are talking juveniles against an older horse.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't think perfectly reasonable, I think, is the way to describe his performance on the clock. But visually, he continues to improve with every race. And, you know, provided he gets decent ground at the festival, you know, he's the type of horse. The better race and the higher up he goes in grade, I think the more he's going to improve, because he seems to cruise through his races, and when they're going championship pace at Cheltenham, he's one of these horses that will travel through the race much stronger than most.
You mentioned Global Citizen in passing there. He's obviously the winner of the race half an hour later. He won the Dovecot Novices Hurdle. He has shortened up for the Imperial Cup on the back of that. He was 8-1 after the race, now 6-1 for the Imperial Cup. Could you see him going there next and obviously then possibly going on to the festival?
I would think you would have a massive chance in that race, but Ken Peterson has gone and said his next target is at Aintree.
Oh, right, okay.
He could well head straight to Aintree. But he holds entries in the Imperial Cup. He holds entries in the County Hurdle. Nothing in the Supreme. He's a horse on the up for sure, Mark. You know, and what he did on the clock today was exceptional. He certainly won wherever he does turn up next to keep firmly on your side. Because for a Savile winner, albeit, and again, you know, a good time at Savile, he's taken a massive step forward, and he's beat good horses as well. Scarlet Dragon, hurdling debutant, did run well in second. The further he went, the better he looked. I mean, it took him three quarters of the race just to basically learn what this hurdling game is all about, didn't it, really, the way he went through it. And he dropped a bit late in the day, and he came home well. Michael's Mount was impressive at Doncaster on his hurdling debut. That could be very, very strong novice hurdle form, albeit it was at grade two level. But, you know, some of these horses, when they gain a little bit more experience, the handicapper won't be able to over-punish them. And you know, if they go into handicap, someone would be better than handicappers, of course. They could be well-treated.
I want to talk about some of the novice chasers on the card, or one in particular. The Pendle Novice Chase, Surname won it. He was 2-5, heavily expected to win the race. Didn't look the strongest renewal of the race either. And barring one fence where he stood off in an absolute mile, Sean Bowen lost the irons, and you know, the partnership looked in danger at one point. Apart from that, He's been very slick. He's won by 11 lengths. Never really in danger.
Bossing small fields round right-handed tracks is definitely his game. And fair play to Sean Bowen. He stuck tight, didn't he?
He did.
He looked like he could go out the front door.
He did, yeah.
The mistake he made at the fence. But, you know, at that stage of the race, the unit was only within a couple of lengths. And I thought if Wayne Hutchinson had went after him a bit sooner at that stage, it might have been a bit closer. But after that, the unit's jumping fell apart up the home straight. And, you know, I don't think he's been a horse that's been entirely in love with fences. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him return to hurdle. Surname is going to be a hard one to place, Mark, because he has enjoyed, you know, these tasks. Small fields round right-handed tracks. It will get more difficult for him from now on in. But he's been well campaigned by Paul Nicholls this year because, you know, he's a horse that's been brought along mentally more than anything. And, you know, he deserves his chance in a much stronger contest.
Last word on Kempton. What did you make of the big handicap chase? Master D, the winner. Big Saturday winner for Fergal O'Brien and Barry Geraghty beating Ballycan and Theatre Territory then there.
Yeah, obviously Theatre Territory was the one I was keen on in the race. I thought he was perfectly positioned coming off the home bend. They'd gone a real good strong gallop early and the two hold-up horses came through. Master D was produced superbly well by Barry Geraghty at the last. You know, he got the fractions absolutely spot on. Big jump at the last to overtake Ballycan and he came home strongly. He went for home. Now, bearing in mind, that ride to his most recent start at Aintree when he was sent for home some way out on that occasion and caught by On Tour. So fair play to Barry Geraghty. He got that absolutely spot on. And what a magnificent horse. Never been out the first three, Mark, in his career.
It's some record, that, isn't it?
It is.
Admirably consistent.
And look at the handicaps he's been running in. Yeah. You know, we're not talking small field races. He's been running in, particularly of late, some really big field, strong, competitive handicaps.
Yeah.
Not so much the big fields looking at the numbers there, but well, the entry race was 12 runners, but and prior to that, 13. So at a market raising. So
yeah.
Grand horse, isn't he?
He is.
You would love to own a horse like that.
That old chestnut. Can't talk to you, can't have you on the podcast, Craig, possibly, you know, without mentioning the Ida as well. Great renewal of the race, exciting to watch. And this year going the way of Bay Wing, beat West of the Edge, Portrait King, and Hainan finishing in fourth, or Hainan if you prefer. Nicky Richards with a nice Saturday winner there as well. Ryan Day on board and a good performance from Baywing.
Well campaigned this horse, Mark. He's been aimed at this race for some time, looking at, you know, his schedule this year. And last time at Newcastle, he was a massive eye-catcher for me. Never really put in the race behind Smooth Stepper on that occasion. Got in here off a mark of 140. There was three or four strong front runners in the lineup. You know, Ryan Day sat patient, gave him a lovely ride, crept his way into contention and produced them at the last. And he came away and proved his stamina first time at the trip and won really well. Really keen on the chances of Bay Wing. Backed him earlier in the week. When I seen the final decks, was even more confident. But, you know, I think Ryan Day deserves all the plaudits. And Nicky Richards, the way they've campaigned him this year and the way he was ridden in the race, the big day for the connections, and he's delivered. And, you know, I think it's a great bit of training and a great bit of riding there. So, you know, hats off to the connections of Bay Wing. They've done the job superbly well.
Another good Saturday jumps action. We also had a big race on the all-weather as well. Just want to mention that quickly before we move on to Sunday's action, because it wasn't without drama either. The Winter Derby at Lingfield, Group 3, over a mile and a quarter. Official result now says Master of the World, the winner, but Mr. Owen was first past the post. Battle of Marathon back in third. I thought it was the correct decision. Master of the World's coming there with a big effort on the outside, flying home, gets checked by Mr. Owen, and I think it'd be very hard for the stewards not to amend the result in the end.
It was the only decision.
Yeah.
Wasn't it, really? Because, you know, Jamie Spencer had no chance on Mr. Owen, really. The horse just darted across to his right. He's definitely impeded Master of the World, who fought back really well. I think that was a crucial part.
Yeah.
Because he got back and he didn't go down by 2 foot ahead in the end, the official distance on the first past the post result. So the fact that he got so close to Mr. Owen and the ground he lost with the interference that took place, it was the only possible outcome in the stewards' inquiry, and they got it right. Deserved winner, Master of the World.
Good. Anything else you want to mention from Saturday, or should we just go straight on and get stuck into Sunday?
It's been good. I've enjoyed it, Mark. Obviously, there's the countdown to the big Cheltenham Festival week is well and truly on now, 2 weeks on Tuesday. Sometimes you lose a bit of quality on the Saturdays at this time of year, but really enjoyed it today. It's been fascinating stuff.
Mm. Good racing coming up on Sunday as well. We've even got a grade two to look forward to on the domestic front. That's where we're going to go first. The Fontwell 320 is that race. It's the National Spirit Hurdle, a grade two over the extended 2 miles and three furlongs. And we'll start with Lil Rockefeller, if we may, Craig. Won this race a couple of years ago, has been running well this term as well. Won a grade two at Ascot a few weeks ago, well, actually, back in November, winning the race that used to be known as the Ascot Hurdle. Is he the one to beat here, do you think?
Yeah, very much so, Mark. And when he did win the race 2 years ago, Mark, he beat Eubank, who lines up here. He's one of the eight runners in this year's renewal of the National Spirit. He was penalised when he won 24 months ago. And again, he carries the penalty. He's got the blinkers on for the first time. He's a class act in the race by far. No, he's slightly disappointing when you look at his last run at Ascot before Christmas. He's been given 64 days off. I'm sure he'll be freshened up. Neil Kingyard appears in reasonable form. The horses I've been watching over the last few days have been running the races. So no problems on that front. And the opposition doesn't really look too strong. I think he's definitely got the beating of Old Guard. Air Horse 1 needs to improve, you know, up to this level. Good solid handicapper, but taking a step up in grade. And the overall form of the Harry Fry Yard concerns me, as does the Evan Williams Yard. You know, they're two trainers that just going through a little bit of a sticky patch at the moment. So that would be the concern with those two. So this looks at, again, a good bit of placing. And I think Lil Rockefeller can win this race for the second time in 3 years.
Lil Rockefeller, the selection for Craig then in the National Spirit Hurdle at Fontwell. The next race we look at is at Southwell. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. Almost 3 miles the distance. Eight runners set to go to post for this one, Craig. Which one comes home in front?
Rocky's Treasure, Mark. I'm going to, you know, forgive his most recent blip, which was in the middle of December at Cheltenham when he was pulled up on that occasion. You know, the ground was fairly soft and, you know, he's much better judged on previous efforts. Prior to that, he finished a really good third on his first start of the season behind Thomas Campbell. And if you wind the clock back 12 months, he won a really good handicap around this time last year at Doncaster off a mark of 117. He is much higher now. You know, he's rated 134. But he's a horse that clearly goes well at this time of year. And, you know, he's carrying 11 stone 11. But he's a class act in the race. I think he's a type of horse that would be suited, you know, conceding weight to inferior rivals. So I think this is a good bit of placing for Rocky's Treasure.
Rocky's Treasure then, the pick for Craig in that race at Southwell. So Rocky's Treasure there in there, 335, along with Little Rockefeller in the 320. Of the pair, strongest opinion, Craig?
It'd have to be Little Rockefeller. As we record this, Mark, he's available at 9-4. I think that's a very fair price.
Superb. Thank you very much, Craig. Good luck and enjoy the action on Sunday.
Thank you, Mark.
And you can join Craig on William Hill Racing Radio on Sunday. He'll be in the studio with Sam Norris and Andy Gibson. They go live from 1:30 p.m. for the meetings at Fontwell, Southwell and Nace. So do join them. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.